free, and whether the examples that we have below that are truly examples of the kinds of analyses that might be done.
Well, certainly the examples are reasonable. One could certainly think of scenarios where one would want to provide more flexibility to steering committees. For example, in the case of a formative design where you might want to include certain clinical concepts because there's strong clinical rationale for including them, then it some of these analyses wouldn't pertain.
So, and that would be included in the evidence, or start there in terms of why you would want to include a component in a particular composite. And the question is then, just because you have that clinical rationale, is that sufficient then? Or do we still want them to do some analyses to show that it has additive value?
Well, the additive value may simply be that it doesn't make clinical sense without it.
I'm again sort of confused about the dark side of asking for this. If in asking for this, people provide a very compelling rationale for why they didn't do it, then you can look at it and say, well, it was either very compelling or it wasn't.
But right.
To ask for it, I think it's completely rational. I mean, I'm having a difficult time understanding why you wouldn't want to ask for this.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Because, and I think, you know, we can certainly rework this line that says if empirical analysis does not provide adequate result, other justification must be provided. We can kind of rewrite that so that it's more reflective of this flexibility or that they would, you know, have to provide a rationale that the steering committee could either, you know, accept or reject, depending on whether that's an adequate rationale. Okay, well, I'll move on. Maybe we can go back to the top then. If we go to page 2, and the definition. Okay. So basically there was agreement about the definition and one suggestion for a minor change, which we made, but others may not think it was so minor. But we have two or more component measures, each of which individually reflects quality of care. That was changed from the prior wording of each of which can be used individually to assess quality of care. So
I like the change.
I'm sorry, pardon me?
This is Nancy. I like the change. I think it's clarifying.
Does anyone have any objections? Okay, let's move on to the...
Sorry, I lost my connection here for a second, but was the change to specify that each individual component had to reflect quality? Could you read it again?
It's a performance measure. It's a combination of two or more component measures, each of which individually reflects quality of care into a single performance measure with a single score. The wording prior to this was each of which individually can be used to assess quality of care. And the suggestion was to instead just say reflects quality of care.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the clarification.
Okay. The next area was defining the quality construct. As you know, what we're asking is for people to describe the quality construct. And I know we tend to revert back to discussion of reflective and formative models or psychometric and formative models, but we had decided to not necessarily use those terms, but we wanted them to describe the quality construct, and we were asked in the comment period to define quality construct. And so we did that and had some discussion about that in January and then the revision to the report. But this is kind of our latest attempt at doing this. And so I'll just let everybody take a look at this either in your own document or on the webinar. You can see that it's up.
Where are you again?
Okay, we're on, sorry, we're on page 2 of the memo, kind of in the middle of the page, quality construct.
Thanks.
Okay. So basically we're saying that the quality, we're saying, well, I'll just go ahead and read it. Quality of care is an abstract concept that is measured using observed variables. Composite measures are complex, multidimensional, and represent a higher order construct than the individual measures. The composite measure quality construct is a hypothetical concept of quality that includes, and this is kind of getting into what we would want them to put in the measure submission, what's the overall area of quality? And we've given some examples here. So, for example, is it quality of CABG surgery? What are the included component measures? A discussion of representatives of the included component measures. What are the conceptual relationships between the component and the component measures and the overall composite? And then and the relationships among the component measures. So are they correlated or not, et cetera. So it's really to be specific about how, you know, giving some good description of what the quality construct is. So the question is this what we'd like to see? Is this too prescriptive? Do you want to just be more general? I think we had actually quite a bit of agreement about this in the survey. But I'll just stop there and see if there are any thoughts.
Well, let me throw out an example to see how this would play out, because this is just an example where we were struggling a little bit. So consider a composite that combines a measure of patient satisfaction and a measure of mortality. And let's assume that those measures are completely orthogonal, that the provider behaviors that increase patient satisfaction are independent of the provider behaviors that lower mortality. So there is no single latent construct that's being measured there, but yet a composite might provide a rational mechanism to allow a consumer to trade off competing values between higher satisfaction on the one hand and higher mortality risk on the other hand in a manner that maximizes utility. So how do we deal with that issue where there doesn't seem to be a single underlying latent construct, and yet
there does seem to be some value in the marketplace for such a composite.
Well, but when, okay, I'll see if anyone has a response to that.
Well, this is Jim. When I hear you go through the example, I would say if I were answering that, I would say that my construct in is it's important for patients to both have to have quality of care, both a good experience and not to have had any errors or other problems during the procedure. So to me that fits together on its face. I understand it's not a single construct, but it is something that what we're asking for is the measure steward to say why they are putting these components together. Why do they hang together? What makes sense about them? And that one seems reasonable to me.
My response to this is that would not be a useful composite. The only way that composite could serve the consumer is if it was deconstructed into its two component domains. And if that's the case, then the composite itself provides no value because your example is one in which they are orthogonal, and then there's no, they're completely independent. And you've postulated that both satisfaction and clinical outcomes are important. So I don't think there's any utility to that composite.
Well, the attempt to name the construct actually reveals the weaknesses of the composite. So I think that comment actually points to the value of being pretty open-ended about what the construct is, but then looking at it critically, there would be something like overall quality of care or something like that, and you'd have to argue that you've gotten all the parts of overall quality and that you've weighted them together appropriately, and probably you'd fail to make a good argument for that because that isn't really a very good quality measure.
And you could get a score of 5 by having very good patient communication and bedside manner, and very poor clinical outcomes, or very poor communication and excellent outcomes. So the composite itself is uninterpretable.
Well, it depends how you're interpreting. In other words, consumers, when they make decisions, they construct such composites in their minds implicitly. So we are inherently weighting these different, sometimes orthogonal, components against each other. So
right, I guess the question is, if you put together a composite with your weighting and the patient can't deconstruct it, based on their value set, how would that help them? I think that's one of the questions.
This is Sherry. If you're adding up apples and airplanes, you're in trouble. But if you're trying to say that hospital A is better than hospital B because it doesn't kill people and it makes them happy, then I think what you're trying to do, Patrick, is make the underlying, conceptual argument that we're asking the measures developers to make. They better come up with some decent rationale for why they're combining this that's both conceptually and empirically compelling. I mean, then they'd have to really provide us evidence that says, look, if you use these things, you get this kind of discrimination between hospitals and this kind of consistency within hospitals.
Okay, I can buy that.
And we're not saying that the components have to be related. We're just asking, so in that case you would say they're independent. They're not correlated. So this is really just for the developer to describe, their quality construct. And then, of course, the other components are the rationale, which you're getting into, and then the how their construction actually fits their quality construct and rationale.
Yeah, and I think I just posed this as a stress test because I want to make sure that our framing is broad enough to capture some unusual types of composites that might come to NQF.
Right. Okay. So I'll just mention if, you know, after we get off this call, if any suggested, you know, language or clarifications come to mind, please feel free to send them to us. And also we can go back, but in the interest of time, we'll just kind of keep moving. So again, during the whole process, we talked about, in general, we want to apply the NQF criteria to composite performance measures and just, you know, be judicious in where we ask for additional information, one being the quality construct that we just talked about. So in terms of NQF criteria, NQF has criteria for reliability and validity. And the discussion among the PEP was that we just need to provide some guidance that for purposes of composite performance measures, reliability and validity should really be focused on the overall composite score. That's a distinction from NQF's criteria for any measures currently allows assessment of reliability of either the data elements or the performance measure score. And the discussion among the TEF that led to these recommendations was that, first of all, we talked about you may not have a reliable component. That may be one of the advantages of putting it into a composite. The second is that even if you have individual components that were reliable and valid, once you put them in your scoring aggregation and weighting system, whether you end up with a reliable and valid performance measure is still a question that we would like addressed in reliability and validity testing. So that's my understanding of where we ended up with trying to focus this at the level of the composite score as Sherry was saying about the within versus between variability. So if you would go, Elisa, to the top of page 3. And for those following along on your own document, the top of page 3 talks about reliability. And we had some language that was pointed out was too restrictive, where we really talked specifically about signal-to-noise analysis, and that language that seem to be too restrictive. So what we're suggesting is some language that testing should demonstrate that measurement error is minimal relative to the quality signal, and then give some examples. So signal-to-noise analysis, and we can put in the references here as described by Rand. Inter-unit reliability has been described by Allen in a paper he did. Sherry's mentioned the intra-class correlation coefficient. So does that make sense? Is that correct language now, or do we need some further modification?
Sounds fine to me.
Yeah, I think so, as long as the references are provided also to help the developers.
Right. We will definitely do that. And if you have some other suggestions, please let us know. And then, again, we had talked about reliability of the individual component measures is not sufficient, and in some cases, component measures that are not independently reliable can contribute to reliability of the composite measure. This was kind of our rationale for two things. One is that we don't need to require reliability of each of the components included in the composite
and kind of the rationale for looking at it at the performance level. Okay, and then for validity, I think we had perhaps some areas of controversy. I think the basic concept was the same, that, again, once you go through all this aggregation and weighting, do you end up with a valid representation of quality, and that should be done for the composite performance measure. On the last call, there was some discussion about whether that was realistic to expect at the time of initial endorsement. And so the decision was made that we should accept validity of the component measures must meet N2F criteria and by endorsement maintenance to have some of this validity testing of the composite performance measure demonstrated. So it gave them a little more flexibility. There was some concept about, or one comment, whether that was even realistic to expect validity testing by the time of endorsement maintenance, because it's unlikely that a gold standard exists. So I think that's true. It's unlikely that a gold standard exists. So generally, validity testing would focus on construct validation, not expecting that there'll be some other criterion measure of the same quality construct that you would be able to do validity testing with. So I guess the question is whether, you know, we're still in agreement that we should ask for validity testing of the performance measure score, whether that should be an option, that it's the individual components or the composite score, or whether it's just totally unrealistic to expect validity testing.
Doesn't it really depend on what the basis of validity is? You know, if you have a formative measure whose fundamental construct is processes that contribute to some better outcome, then you might initially endorse something on the basis of a literature that says that that's true for each of the processes, and maybe ask for an analysis as more data is collected that shows predictive value or something like that. But if validity is based on this is something focus group tested, then it's not clear that there's any quantitative thing that would add to that.
Yeah, to me, it depends where we are in the course of the development of the new measure, the new composite, because if you're at the very outset, as Ellen said, face validity and content validity is maybe what you're stuck with. But on the other hand, if there's been some experience in the literature with either the individual components or some collective of the components, then it is reasonable to expect some empirical testing of it, and I would hope that you'd set the bar pretty high and at least ask for it or a rationale for not doing it.
Okay, so, all right. Any other suggestions or thoughts about this? For those of you, I think one question that comes to my mind with this is, for example, some of the ARC composite measures that are basically combinations of outcome measures, what kind of construct validation could be envisioned when your composite is a composite of outcomes versus processes, what kind of theoretical concepts or hypothesis testing would actually be relevant for that kind of composite performance measure? Or is that one of the cases where you might rely on the face and content validity?
Well, I hate to be the noisy one again, but to me, if you're going to create, for example, a composite of lipid levels, hemoglobin A1C levels, and blood pressure levels, and call that quality of diabetes care, then I think you'd have to subject, and for the purpose of discriminating one clinic from another, or one doctor from another, then you'd have to provide some empirical evidence that that collective has some value in doing that measurement task, and at least is giving you more evidence of diabetes quality than each of those indicators taken separately. And there is more, for example, interclass correlation when you take them as a group than when you do them individually.
So I guess though, what would they have? What would the major developer have to submit then to prove validity in your mind? I mean, because it's not going to be feasible to look at, you know, outcome measures for the patient in a short timeline. I suppose you could look at published studies, but I'm not sure that really represents validity testing.
Well, the issue of are you measuring what you think you're measuring with those that collective versus the individual measures. If you think you're measuring diabetes quality, what do doctors who have good diabetes quality also have besides those outcome measures? Well, you could argue they do more stuff. Now, that's not independent because you're measuring your annual hemoglobin A1C. You can't have an outcome unless you have the process. So that doesn't get you cleanly out of that situation. But actually, we had that same issue when we published the article on from using NCQA data and the DPRP on discriminating individual physicians. So you could argue that, well, I'm going to take these as a collective, and I'm going to see to what extent that collective is related to other things that doctors who deliver good diabetes quality should do.
Right. Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to beat the drum that everybody's heard me beat before, which is I think ultimately we need data that demonstrate that whatever has been constructed as a performance measure measures performance in such a way that it is related to outcome and that it's consistent across time, which requires demonstration that there are data to support that. Prospectively, we've decided not to do that, but once a measure is actually approved, I think we need data.
Okay. And just a question about the consistency across time. One of the kind of ask you this, it's a little off topic, but it's something that comes up. Sometimes we have measure submissions where for reliability they want to demonstrate consistency across time, and the question comes up is in the context of measures being put forward for performance and performance improvement, is that a reasonable expectation that it should be consistent across time, and how do you factor in that the goal is for change over time?
No, I absolutely agree, but there's some relative ordering that you would expect to maintain itself over time. You're not going to expect the worst performer to become the best, and you're not if it's not demonstrating a relationship with outcome, then outcomes are going to should scale over time as well.
Okay.
I guess where I have trouble with the last discussion, though, about outcome is I can see perhaps using that if I was doing a re-endorsement evaluation after the three-year period on a measure, you would expect that perhaps there might be some outcome data available. Where I struggle with is in the initial submission. So one of you used the diabetes care as an example, linking two or three different performance metrics around diabetes that have been associated with improved patient outcomes in prospective trials. But when the three measures together, I actually like the concept of saying, well, you know, if somebody's doing well on this measure, they're also probably somebody that's doing well on other measures. I'm okay with that. But to actually be able to demonstrate in an initial submission that there's outcomes data for this composite, that it reflects, it actually is linked to better patient outcomes, I just think that's a high bar that a lot won't be able to make.
Yes, and I think I gave in on that one last time.
Yeah.
Right. So I think what we said the last time was that, you know, that was probably too much, you know, maybe, depending on the measure and the circumstances, maybe too much to expect on the initial submission, and that the component measures should be demonstrated as meeting NQF criteria for validity. But what I've kind of heard today, and maybe is more appropriate, is that they would be able to show content or face validity of the composite performance measure. Or would it be either way, that if they had validity of the component measures, that would be acceptable, or content or face validity of the performance of the composite? Okay. Well, I think we'll try to be flexible here as we put together this final, so that I think that has been some of the caution that we're hearing to, you know, indicate what would be good measurement science, but to be flexible in the realities of the real world. Okay, if we move down on page 3, this was the additional information on composite performance measures that we would ask for. We've already talked about the quality construct. The second one was the rationale for constructing a composite measure. And then the third one is how the aggregation and weighting of the composite of the component measures are consistent with and representative of the stated quality construct and rationale. So this would basically be, you know, the measure developer's description of these three areas, and the steering committee would really be looking at this for clarity and logic that it makes sense to them. Any comments or questions or suggestions about this? There seemed to be a lot of agreement on the survey in this area. Okay, and we talked about 2D already. I think the last thing in the memo, and I apologize for skipping around. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're looking at the bottom of page 3, right, or near the bottom of page 3?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I would say again is that because people often interpret a construct as a single latent construct in the psychometric model, so we may want to explain that we're using the term construct in a somewhat broader way.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly how to do that. I could try to write a sentence or two.
Okay. So Patrick, if we go back to and certainly if you have some suggestions for this, but if we go back to page 2, Elisa, if you could go back to our definition of a quality construct. And you may want to send, and this would actually you need to accompany it, but where we say it's an abstract construct that is measured using observable variables, composite measures are complex, multidimensional. So we are kind of thinking that the quality construct has multidimensional components. So I don't know if you have some suggestions on the way we've got this worded currently, or if but we would welcome any clarifications to make sure that people are all on the same page.
Okay, I'll try to suggest tweaks.
Okay, great. And then if we go to the last area that we've had quite a bit of discussion about and is about the decision-making context as part of the rationale that's in the report, and this is on page 5 of the memo. So what we have gone back and forth about this, and I think this is another area where there won't be complete agreement. And so we tried to basically make sure that all views were represented. So we basically kept the language that was in your last draft. We put the examples in a footnote just to so that it would flow quicker, be more concise, and then we the last paragraph tried to make sure that all of the viewpoints that were expressed by the TEP were included. So the language that we had previously is still in there, that some TEP members thought that decision-making context is a unique aspect of composite performance measures, where choices about which components are included and how they are aggregated and weighted can affect interpretation and use. And other members expressed concern that it is inconsistent with NQF's current policy to endorse measures suitable for performance improvement and any accountability application, or that another viewpoint that it's unnecessary because all composites should be a valid reflection of quality. So I'll ask you to kind of think about that, whether that language makes sense, that it accurately reflects the various viewpoints that have been expressed about decision-making context. I think the practical implications of this is that we will be asking the measure developer to give us their rationale for the measure, which and their weighting and aggregation scheme, which could include something about the decision context. It doesn't have to. And it doesn't change the fact that NQF currently endorses performance measures for any accountability application, not specific accountability applications, though I will say that that is something that you know, that's a question that's come up in general about NQF endorsed measures and something that may be looked at in the future of a different way to go about that. But I think we just want to make sure that we've adequately expressed the various viewpoints on this. So I'll stop there and see if anyone wants to add anything or, you know, definitely you can send it to us afterwards as well. So while you're having a chance to digest that, why don't we see if there's any comments or questions from the audience, from the public members, the public and NQF members on the call that may be on the call?
At this time, if you would like to ask a question or have a comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, that was star 1 for questions or comments.
Okay. So I'll ask that we'll talk about next steps, but before we do that, wanted to see if there were any other issues or questions that the TEP wanted to bring up based on looking at the survey of the TEP members or the memo or anything in the draft report as it currently stands.
Okay. Any public comments or questions?
Did you say there is one?
No, ma'am. There is none.
Okay. Thanks. And also, if our discussion today, if anyone wants to revisit the discussion about whether all or none or any or none measures should be considered composites at this point in time. So I'll stop there and see if there are any additional items from the TEP.
So, Karen,
yes.
With respect to the material on the bottom of page 5.
Okay.
So just help us understand what the implications of this. I think the reason that it came up in my mind is not that NQF would be endorsing a composite only for certain accountability applications and not for others, but simply that the weighting of the components of a composite might differ according to the intended application. And so in the process of steering committee review, it might be important for the steering committee to understand what the developer's intent was as far as how the indicator should be used to inform decision making, because often the weighting scheme will follow from that.
Right. So I think that the only implication is this is the language that will be in the report about our discussion about decision making. How this translates into the criteria is that when we ask for the developer's rationale, that's where they would have the opportunity to discuss this, and then also the item about how they're for their aggregation and weighting is consistent with that. So it really doesn't have any implications beyond that. At one point, we talked about whether the TEP wanted to actually make a recommendation that NQF should consider endorsing measures for specific applications, and I think that didn't get a lot of traction. And so, and again, as I said, that's something that NQF is going to be addressing anyway. But I think where I'm coming from is basically that this is the language that we would put in the report as it's just part of the discussion in the narrative discussion of the report.
Okay. And Alan, you raised some interesting points in email, so perhaps there might be a minute to discuss your suggestion now.
Yeah, I realize we're, as I commented to Patrick, we're dealing with an organization that operates under certain constraints, so I didn't really expect that this committee would be able to change the way NQF does everything. But, my point there was that really what we're talking about is not a single thing when we talk about composites. We're talking about a number of different types of things, and the implications for additional criteria and the kinds of expertise that are needed are somewhat different depending on which of these features are present in a given measure. So another approach to the whole thing, which I give in the spirit of more of concept than of trying to change the way NQF does things right now, would have been to have a series of check boxes that, not is this a composite measure? Yes, no, but does this measure involve combining several previously existing measures? Does this measure combine data from distinct sources? Does it, a few different things like that, which taken together define a number of different versions of what it means to be a composite, and then those could trigger the appropriate descriptions of what's required for validation of the measure, or for evidence for the measure at the start, or for review of the measure after it's been in place for a while. Which might give you a way of having some more specific guidance than you get just by saying it's a composite and trying to find then criteria that apply to all kinds of composites. So that's basically what my comment was about. And I was a little worried that we could be caught in a logjam over trying to come up with a general purpose definition of what is and what isn't a composite. Although we seem to have made it through this call okay, so I'm glad to know that that's not an issue.
I guess how I was linking that was that so there may be, if we think of those two bullet points that that we may still have under the examples of composites, so
right.
Would the specific criteria and subcriteria that would be triggered potentially differ for those two bullets. In which case, I think that we could kind of set aside the semantic argument and not worry about whether all or nones are composites or not. If we agree that all or nones do have to provide some specific information that's appropriate for all or nones, but perhaps not all of the subcriteria that are specified for other types of composites. But I think people are exhausted.
Well, let's give that a little more thought. I mean, we kind of talked about that as we were discussing that earlier in that relating it back to the 2D, those criteria about the, I would think you would still want the description, right, that we talked about in terms of the quality construct, the rationale, and how the aggregation and weighting fit that. That seems like that would be appropriate for the second bullet as well as the first. But it seems that the question that you posed earlier was more about the additional analyses that we talk about in their 2D, whether those are appropriate for the all or none or any none. Is that?
So, we've been so busy trying to figure out whether all or nones are composites that I don't know that we've really talked a lot about what the criteria would be for an all or none. But there might, for example, be a criterion that you would only use an all or none for a set of closely related processes that are part of the same overall, care directed at the same overall objectives or something like that. You probably wouldn't do an overall none of a bunch of things that are really loosely coupled that are done by different actors and for different purposes and use that as a quality composite, although you might be wanting to use an overall rate of good care as a quality composite. So, there could be in both less criteria and more criteria for an all or none. We haven't really hashed out when we think all or none should be considered appropriate, so it's a little hard to say exactly what those would be.
To me, this is one of those don't try this at home kind of phenomena where, if you don't have your head screwed on right and provide a compelling rationale for what you're putting together and why you're putting it together, the purpose you're putting it to, you're ending up, in a complete blind soup. And I think it's a whole separate call to figure out under what circumstances an all or none scoring of a set of who knows what variables might be appropriate and which kinds of circumstances. I think we're now getting into the weeds. And until we've got more experience with what comes in to NQF, I think Alan, we might be way ahead of ourselves.
Well, we know a lot about what comes into NQF. From the
not on composites, we don't.
Right. I mean, we haven't had a tremendous amount of experience with them, and I think they would still need to, the way we have it now is not to be prescriptive of saying when you can or cannot consider an all or none. That would be up to them making their case by describing that quality construct and their reasoning and then see how the other criteria, do they have evidence for the components? How do those components add value? So, maybe as we get more and more experience, we might be able to say that all or none is only appropriate in a certain situation. I don't know.
Well, you could say that someone presenting an all or none should present an argument for why that's a useful scoring either for consumer purposes or
right.
So it gets a little more specific about what has to be justified there.
Okay.
So then you're noting that when it comes to that type of scoring, in addition to all the sort of generalities that we have about explaining why things go together in a composite, that the all or none scoring should have a particular rationale. And then if there were examples, the examples could be things like a set of processes, all of which have to be accomplished in order for the overall objective to be successful, or things like never allowable types of events. Those are some of the rationales for an all or none scoring.
Okay.
But as Patrick said, we're a little late in the game to pick up that kind of thing. It's a slightly, it could be the same thing could be done in example and explanatory text. But
okay.
It could be structured to be more directive, though.
Okay, so this is Karen Pace again. Where we're at with this is that we need to pretty quickly finalize this and get it to our CSAC, who will be reviewing it at their March 20th meeting, in-person meeting, and we will need to find out the agenda time so that we can have Patrick and Liz available, hopefully, or and certainly any of the TUP that wishes to dial in for it. So I think what we will do is review the discussion that occurred on this call and indicate and get back to you anything that we think indicates a change that needs to be made in that clean version of the report that we also sent you. We will get that to you pretty shortly, next week sometime. And so we need, if there's anything that you want us to consider or language or suggested changes or additions or clarifications, we would need those from you very quickly, hopefully by the beginning of next week. So any other questions or comments or things that we need to be sure to follow up with you on? Patrick or Liz, any final words of wisdom for us as we're trying to finalize this?
Well, I'll just say this has been, a challenging discussion. And I think, I really tremendously appreciate what everyone on the committee has contributed, because we've certainly had a robust discussion. I think we've learned from each other. We may not agree completely at the end of the day, but I think we've reached agreement around certain core elements that hopefully will be helpful to NQF going forward.
And I second that, and I think Patrick was right when he said we're all exhausted, but you've managed to keep us in tow, and you seem to be to have a lot of energy for this. Thanks.
Well, we really appreciate it. It's been very good discussion, raising lots of issues that we definitely need to consider, and as Dave Shaheen mentioned earlier, and I think others have seconded, we know that this is going to be an evolution. It's not going to be perfect now. It wasn't perfect the first one, and we're hoping we're making progress, but we know that this will need to be revisited again, and we appreciate all of your contribution, because I know, it's been time-consuming, short timelines, and really appreciate all of your input and suggestions. And you'll be hearing from us yet again. So we'll thank you in advance for taking a look at what we send out as the final.
Yeah, and this is Helen. I've been looking. I just want to say my thanks as well. It's been a great discussion. And special thanks to the Karens as well. So.
Yeah, and I would say to my colleagues also that please submit specific suggestions to Karen and Karen. If you have ideas or brainstorms that have come up, particularly Alan's idea, it would be helpful, I think, to see them on paper.
Great. Okay, well, thank you all, and have a good evening.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.